knew a man called him Sandy Kane. Few folks even knew his name. But a hero, yes, was he. Left a boy, came back a man. Still many just don't understand about the reasons we are free. I can't forget the look in his eyes or the tears he cried as he said these words to me. All gave some, some gave all, some stood through for the red, white, and blue, and some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some gave all. Now Sandy Kane is no longer here, but his words are also clear as they echo throughout our land. But all his friends who gave us all, who stood the ground and took the fall to help their fellow man. Love your country and live with pride, and don't forget those who died. America, can't you see? All gave some, and some gave all, and some stood through for the red, white, and blue, and some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some gave all. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Yes, recall. Some gave all. Some gave all.
Country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I am kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Chevy car. Texas with a hammer down and a rockin' little combo from a guitar down.
absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
That's what I said. James is darn good. But he's better. And I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench. Well, here we are, and welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's Monday, the 1st of May. Can't believe, again, how, as I say it almost every day, but every show, but time is really flying. Hopefully our internet will hold up. We've had internet problems all weekend. We had internet problems earlier this evening. I almost didn't even try to do a show. So we'll see. Right now, I think it's doing okay. So if you guys out there, let me know how things are going. I'll get over here on the chat room and see what's going on here. Let's see what we got in there. One Bright Angel, Desert Rat, Doc, Maddie, Minnie, and M. Glocks with us again. You're getting to be a regular fixture, buddy. I'm glad to see you. Rolex, Yakima Glock, Radio Doc, and Anonymous too. So, all right, now what I need to do before I continue to blabber here for nothing, I need a show of hands. Need to see if we got. So, okay, Minnie says sound is good. All right, good enough. All right, let's continue. Hey, and NM Glock, I'm here about, I don't know, bottom of the hour maybe. I have a song for you. We'll try it and see how it works. I didn't get to it the other night, so we had a hard time Friday. Trying to get into Liberty Lounge, and it didn't work, and we've just had, you know, that was, I think that was the day it snowed so much and wet and everything, and I think that has affected our internet. I don't know, and it may still be affecting it. It hadn't dried out completely, but we'll see how it does. Right now, it's doing all right. So, a lot of stuff going on since we was last here, and by the way, for those of you that are podcast listeners, which is a substantial amount, I'll get the podcast caught up. We've been bouncing around here. We had grandkids here. We had snow. We've had no internet. We have jobs to do and classes to teach. I've done several classes here over the last month, I guess. So my podcasts are at least, I think, 3 weeks or so behind. I will get that taken care of here in the next couple of days. I may try to get some of them caught up tonight after we get done here. You know, one of the things that I didn't think, oh, by the way, one more thing before I get started here. Doc and I are going to be doing a show on obsolete oddities, odd handguns and just guns, period. But primarily handguns. We've got a few of them in mind that we want to talk about. And these are things that are not only rare, but, you know, a lot of them became rare as soon as they were invented because they just, you know, didn't go over too well. Excuse me.
So Doc's got a couple he's really itching to do, and I've got a couple I want to talk about. Got some other gun stuff that's going to take. That won't take up the whole hour, but we've got some other gun stuff to do, too. So that'll be Wednesday. Now, what I was going to say here a while ago, you know, I have, over the last 10 or 11 years on this radio show, have spent a great deal of time trying to get, NM Glock, that's one. I'm trying to get people to prepare, trying to get people to open their eyes, pay attention, see what's happening. It's been very frustrating. You know, we've had some rewards out of it. There's been some people that have made an attempt to do something, and others just flat won't do it. And I come up with all kinds of scenarios, realistic, I thought, scenarios as far as what I thought might happen. You know, several different things that could possibly happen. What's happening right now was not one of them. I didn't dream in my wildest nightmares here that this Antifa, whatever it is, the Democrats, I'm astonished at some of the goings on with these people. The Rose Parade was canceled. Really? Over a bunch of Democrats? I could not believe that. If we had done that, they'd have killed one of us. Every time we try a peaceful demonstration, someone goes to jail, someone gets killed, someone gets beat. But with these people, that well, let's just cancel it and let them, you know, just give them their head and let them do what they want to do, and it'll all be over pretty soon. We'll get back to normal. But I never thought. I've always thought that the Civil War was a possibility. But I never thought it would go this direction. This is not. It's starting to look more and more like. Like a civil war is possibly in the making here, but surely not what I had envisioned the possibility of. You know, I had thought about illegal aliens, UN troops, just like everybody else. And let's see, what was my other scenario here? I don't remember what it was, but anyway, several different things going on. And I thought that any one or a combination of several might be, you know, a combination between, a culmination of civil war, revolution, and just fighting for survival against, you know, illegal aliens and whatnot. I never thought that I'd see the day that we'd have all of these Muslim refugees, they want to call them, I'd rather call them invaders, would just be allowed to come into this country. And if you look at the violence, you know, it's not too bad here yet. We're seeing it some. It's not too good either. We're seeing some, but we're not seeing it nearly like they are in Europe. I posted a very long deal from a German nurse actually she's not German. She was from Czechoslovakia, but she's in Germany. And she was explaining the things that's gone on over there and continues to go on. And she's thinking about going back to the Czech Republic. And she says, you don't even know if that's going to work because she knows it's going to come right over there, as many of them as they've allowed in that part of the country. And it was eye-opening and heartbreaking to listen to the things that she, or read the things that she was talking about. If you're a Facebooker, if you follow me, go to my personal page, to Cope Reynolds, and there's a post down there. The part that I put is, it's not too long. But it starts out with, I don't remember. I'll have to go look now. But it's been, I think, just yesterday, maybe late evening, day before I put it on. It's not too far down the line. You'll know when you find it, because when you click on read more or whatever it says, it's way long. But it is worth reading. It takes a little while, but it is definitely worth reading. I'd like to see y'all read it. And if you do go in, if you're a Facebooker and you go in and read that, click like on it so I can tell what kind of response we're getting on that. I already got quite a few of them. And I won't know for several days, probably a week, because the overwhelming majority of our listeners are podcasters, so or podcast listeners, not necessarily podcasters. So we'll find out here in a few days. But I think we're, I don't think anything, I'm damn sure, and most of y'all are too. We are at an extremely critical time right now. We're at a time when just one person does something wrong. If there's a shot fired in anger somewhere, even by accident. You know, this is something we worried about at Bundy Ranch. I said, man, if somebody has a negligent discharge here, if somebody accidentally pulls a trigger, goes off for whatever reason, and there's a shot fired from either side, didn't make it. Hold on here a minute. Just relax. Take a break. Be right back. All right, let's try this again. It wouldn't matter which side it was, good, bad, or the ugly. Something would happen, and it would not have been good. And we're just about to that point right now. And as usual, it is our side. It's us, the conservatives, the 3%ers, the militia, you know, the good guys that keeps holding things together. And we've done it over and over and over. They've pushed us and pushed us and pushed us. And so far, with a few very minor exceptions, we've done very well. We haven't broken yet. And this was something that Mike Vanderbo was worried about, you know, before he died, that this very thing was going to happen. And Bob Wright went on and on about it, you know, numerous times that I talked to Bob on the phone. He was concerned that all it was going to take was one hothead or one idiot that pulls the trigger out there, does something to get this whole thing kicked off. And I still am very, very, I was sad to see both of those guys go, but Bob went. You know, we've been expecting Mike to go for years. He was having failing health, and he'd go up and down, and it was not a big surprise. And it drug out for a long time when he finally did go. But Bob Wright, it was so quick. You know, we found out that he had, I think it was pancreatic cancer. And it wasn't just, I don't even know if it was a month, just a few weeks. He was gone, just like that. It was a sad day for our side. He was one that was very exceedingly level-headed and just runneth over with common sense. And he was the one that pulled groups together and kept groups from fighting and trained thousands of guys down on the border and militia ever since I met him in the 90s, 94 probably is when I met him, 94, 95. So anyway, didn't want to get off on that too much. But so I go find that post of mine, even if you're not a Facebooker, just go to Facebook. Most of my stuff is public, and you don't have to join Facebook to read it. Just go to Facebook and find it. And matter of fact, I may even go find the link for you during the next break. and put it up there. It's stuff that I think you'll be, well, you need to read it, whether you like it or not. You need to read it. It's good stuff. And if there's anything, I don't know how many times we've talked about this, but if there's anything that you feel like you need to do that you haven't done yet in the way of preparing yourself and your family, your home, your animals, your financial affairs, you know, whatever you need to do, you need to get on it, because we don't have a whole lot of time, you know. And that's comparatively speaking, I guess, because I've said that for a long time, that we don't have a whole lot of time. But in the overall scheme of things, that could be a couple of years, it could be 6 months, it could be 2 weeks. So whatever it is, shouldn't be too awful long. So I think on that note, well, let me finish up here. I got there was something I wanted to. Oh, this was. No, it looks like NM Glock said he's was with Mike Vanderbo a few years ago. Had an episode on the second day and had to leave early. I think I know when that was too. I think because Bob Wright was at that one too, if I'm not mistaken. I think I know just exactly when that was. I didn't make it to that one. But I think I remember Bob talking about it. So as we move on through our various important topics this evening, I have one here that is not important. It is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Rates right up there amongst the top few anyway. So what we have here Radio Doc, I'll send that to you during the break. What we have here is some jeans by Nordstrom. Guys, you're not going to believe this. There's pictures of my they're selling jeans for $425 that appear to be already dirty. Now, the best I can tell, this is a real and true thing. They're $425. And apparently, a lot of people find it distasteful. Others, I guess Nordstrom expects to actually sell some of these. I guess it makes some of the millennials look like they've are doing something, that they work for that. Let me go buy a pair of dirty pants, put them on, and it'll look like I've been out doing things like a grown-up. You know, this whole deal with the snowflakes is this new term everybody likes to call them, is getting dumber and dumber every day. And I got you, NM Glock. I saw that dealer. Speaking of dumbness by people that are exceedingly dumb, I posted this. Hey, Susie B made it on there. Yeah, you're you. I posted this on Facebook, and some guy jumped up right away and said, it's fake news. Well, it is not fake news. I did some research on this, and it was in, let me see if I can find the story here again. Find out what time it was in Oregon. forgot the name of the town, but just saying it was in Oregon is enough. Where did it go? There's the Rose Festival, Rose Parade. Canceled. I'm looking for... Well, I must have accidentally deleted it. But anyway, there was a... there was a cat in a tree. Now, don't laugh. This was a real story. There was a cat in a tree. The cat was sitting up there just watching the goings on, watching life go by. And the way he was laying, there was a limb under his right armpit, his right leg pit. And it was kind of a little bit with just a wee bit of imagination. Looked a little bit like a little gun. A little assault rifle, about 12 inches long. Just a little bit. Not very much. You didn't have to look at it very long to figure out it was a tree limb. You know that somebody called the cops for this cat having an assault rifle. True story. I saw a couple, but I went and looked it up, and it was in numerous reputable news, you know, TV stations and newspapers and stuff up in that part of the country. They called the cops. Of course, the cops got there. Luckily, they didn't shoot the cat. But they laughed it off. And they said, and this was just a joke part of it, they said they cited the cat for, they Newport, Oregon. Thank you, Susie B. Yeah. They cited the cat for not having enough camouflage or something goofy like that. I lost the cotton picking story, but anyway, Susie B knows it was a true thing. You know, you want to shake your head, laugh maybe. This is so stupid as to be completely sickening. This is the most asinine thing. Who calls? You know, I thought it was pretty dumb several years ago. Somebody called the cops on a guy that was walking down the street with an umbrella. Said it was an assault weapon. These people are so petrified over assault weapons. It's just unbelievable. And now they're calling them in on cats up in a tree with a branch under their arm. There's a cat up there with an assault rifle. All righty then. Well, it's your story. You can tell it however you want to. All right. Well,
I'll be back.
I've seen a lot. West Texas, lost and sent to spread the message. God bless Texas.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes every time, and you can do the same thing with Byard Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byard Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byard Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10-22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByardBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we wanted to maintain and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country. That ain't country.
Yeah, we can.
All right, we're back. Radio Doc, I posted that on your page on your wall there, but somehow Facebook must have changed something. I can still do it with my phone, but I can't do it on the computer. I can't find a link to this deal. So what you need to do is just go to my page, go to Cope Reynolds, and look at it's dated April 29th at 1:43 p.m. It starts out ordinarily. I don't allow posts that are not training related on my page. Dying is not an option. I've deleted a lot of them, but I made an exception for this one. So if you're a Facebooker, go check. Even if you're not, just go check it out. Anybody can see this. It's a public post. So, let me make sure it's public. Yes, it is. All right. But this this whole long thing about the migrants, about the illegal, well, I guess they're legal now. This is the kind of scenario. You know, even in my classes, we get into the anything above and beyond the CCW classes. When, you know, I used to train people for it, I'd use the term, you know, home invaders, protecting the home front, you know, things like that, you know, protecting your family. But now I've changed things around a little bit, changed the way I do the classes. And kind of going the way that Gabe Suarez did a long time ago, and doing things that are not completely, you know, a little more unorthodox, a little more what makes your NRA instructors cringe and run and go tell people that you're not doing it right. But I look at this now as protecting liberty. This is protecting our very way of life. This is our very survival here. Our existence on this planet is threatened right now. And there's we're moving away from, of course we still have to a little bit, but you know, especially for beginning students. But we're trying to move away a little bit from the, I guess a little bit more. I never have been much one to just stand flat footed on level gravel, you know, with the sun shining and the birds singing and everything and try to convince people that they're going to be a fight stopper. But there, because they can shoot a tidy little group at 7 yards. That's not anything we've ever really done. Of course, we spend some time with that, with new shooters, but we're getting farther away from that now, because I think that it's one thing to run into a drug addict or somebody down on the street or at home that may mean to do you harm. But we're looking at a whole different enemy right now. There are things, you know, we saw the cop shot out of the clear blue sky, or not the cop, the old dude, the old veteran out of the clear blue sky. There was a cop shot today. I should have gotten that story. I forgot about that. But there was a cop shot somewhere in Harris County. I would assume probably Houston is in Harris County, probably down there in that neck of the woods somewhere. And I don't know if anybody else has died since then, but there was a cop killed and I think 4 people injured at the time that I saw the story. And there's just every day, there's more of this stuff going on. Susie B just posted something. I just saw it there. A driver in Moses Lake was shot in the head after a driver was tailgating her and then fired on the car. So there's that NM Glock. That's exactly right. I've talked to people about, you know, they just carry a 5-shot revolver and no reload. Or even if they carry their little semi-automatic, little 10-shot semi-automatic and no reload. Guys, if you're going to carry it all, you need to carry a reload. The first thing that people say, the first thing out of people's mouths, well, if you can't solve the problem with 5 shots, then you're not a very good shot or something stupid like that. Who do we have there? It's TXS. Who is that? I don't know. I've never seen you before, at least not under that name. So anyway, welcome. Glad you made it into the shooting bench. It's not a matter of whether you can solve the problem with that number of rounds. What happens, and I've said this before, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I've talked to you about it here on the show many times. What if you have an ammunition malfunction? What if you are one of the, I know nobody on the shooting bench does this because we've talked about this before and I know you don't do it. But there are people that do. They clean their guns, hose it down with WD-40 while the rounds are still in the cylinder. No. Don't do that. But there are people that, so what, maybe it's just bad ammo. Maybe you got a bad box. Maybe you know, whatever the case may be, you pull the trigger 2 or 3 times on a revolver that you know is loaded and nothing happens, or you get some squib loads or something, then you're going to have to use a reload and get it going again. What if with a semi-automatic you get in a scuffle and you accidentally punch that button and your magazine shoots down the storm drain and there you are? You may or may not have one left in the chamber. You may or may not be able to fire it because it has a magazine disconnect in it. Carry at least one reload. We've talked about multiple assailants. And M. Glock just posted it's getting more and more likely. I think the possibility now is just as high, if not higher, that you may run into multiple adversaries instead of just one. Even if there is just one. Remember the story we talked about in Georgia a few years ago? I think I was still in Luna when we talked about this. But anyway, she shot the guy in the face 5 or 6 times with a or head and, you know, upper shoulders, neck, face with a 38, fired all six rounds. He fell down on the floor and drove off and run into a tree and died, you know, a couple hundred yards from the house. And if he'd have been so inclined, he could have climbed right back up that ladder and probably killed her or done, you know, done some more damage because she was out of ammo. Now, it's a little bit of a stretch to expect the average housewife to carry a reload around the house. I know that that's a little much to ask. But anyway, think about it. The chances right now, TXS or Texas or whatever you are, that's good to hear there. Minnie, that's right. There was a guy, there was some people stabbed at University of Texas today. And this is going on more and more frequently. And you guys that have not got into some serious training, I don't mean standing out there and shooting your gun, firing your weapon. I mean, find somebody to help you out a little bit with some, you know, some basic tactics and reloads and malfunction clearing and actually shooting while you're moving. Shooting at moving targets, shooting at multiple targets quickly. And I'll tell you something else that we've started doing about 2 years ago. No. What is this, 2017? 4 years ago. In 2013, before I moved to Sholo from Pine Top, we started pushing headshots a lot harder. If you're out there in the mall and some guy stands up and starts hollering Allahu Akbar, you need to shoot him in the head. You don't shoot him in the chest. Couple of reasons. You may set off explosives. You may allow him the opportunity to set off explosives because there is no such thing as an immediate stop in the chest. You have to get into the central nervous system. In order for that to hopefully have some possibility of stopping that event, you're going to have to shoot him in the head, right between the eyes, right in the eye. And there's going to be no cord pulling and no button pushing if you do that. But you have to make that shot perfectly, and you have to make it right freaking now. Now, the other thing about that is, even if he doesn't have a vest, how are you going to shoot somebody in what they call center mass, in the large area there, somewhere between belt line and the shoulder is just the largest target there. When you've got people running all around, you know that your only opportunity may be to make that headshot. It may be the best, even if it's not that good, it may be the best opportunity that you have. Yakima Glock took a class from us up in Washington here a couple of years ago. And one of the things that we do is we get very, dynamic is the word for it. Other things that we do too, but this was one where you have to make decisions quickly, very quickly. And I think, let's see, did I see Granny Red come in here? No way. Maybe I didn't. Somebody said hello, Granny Red, maybe. Anyway, Granny Red also took class up there, and I think she got to do some of that also. And, there she is. She's posing as an anonymous there. All right. But we take four targets out there, and I believe we did it at 7 yards, and paint the top corner red, yellow, green, and blue. and we stand out there with usually two people on the firing line at the same time. And, you know, they have their limits as well. They each have their own four targets. They're not all shooting at the same four targets. And we just stand out there just as fast as we can go, hollering colors. Once in a while, I'll holler a color that doesn't exist, that's not there. You talk about screwing them up. So they have to slow down there a little bit and try to figure it out. And then I'd say the same color two or three times in a row. And that messes them up because we've been doing one color, you know, blue, black, red, color, red, green, red, back, forward, da, 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 da. And if you say the same one a couple of times in a row and then bounce off of it, that screws them up. So that's the kind of stuff that we're, I mean, there's many, many different ways to do that, but some more realistic than others. But that's where you're practicing to work on multiple assailants there. But we're pushing headshots a lot harder than we used to. You know, we've always done headshots, you know, the failure to stop drills and all of that, but now it's become more of a going for the head to start with in some instances because we haven't got time and it may be too dangerous to make that thoracic cavity shot. and reloads, and I tell you what, this gets your heart pumping. It gets your blood flowing. It really does. And you go out there, especially these guys with 7-8 shot magazines. And I said, bring every magazine you got. The more you bring, the more you can shoot. And when they're, I get right in their, not in their face, obviously, because that's the direction they're shooting from. But I'm right behind them, right in their ear. Saying, hurry, hurry, stop, shoot, he's coming at you. There, get a reload, got to fix it, go. And they're dropping stuff and everything, you're finding out. How are you going to, this is artificially induced stress. And, you know, we have a hard time even doing that. And not to put anybody down, because that's why we do it. I know you're going to have problems. I know you're going to fail at certain things. That's why we're trying to get you to do it. And, you know, after we do that a couple of times, then it becomes a little bit more organized and people can keep it together a little bit better. And there's other things we do that are along those lines also. But, we've got another class that I haven't done, at least haven't done it in Washington yet, and that is applied dynamic responses. And we've got one for rifle, shotgun, and handgun. Very dynamic class. I don't even let all people take that. You have to have taken at least 5 days of training from me in the 12-month period preceding this class. And you still may not be able to do it because this class is it's tough. And if you're not pretty tuned up, well, then it's not going to work. Yeah, it was kind of funny, Granny. Anyway. All right. Well, that's enough of that. I want you all to think hard, long and hard about your abilities and your equipment and your skills. And think about and see if you're ready, thinking about some of the things that we've talked about tonight. Multiple assailants, reloading, clearing malfunctions under pressure. You know, we don't stop the drill because you have a malfunction. Oh, wait, you don't put your hand up and say, wait, I don't have, no. We're past that. You've learned how to clear the malfunctions. You've learned how to clear them rapidly, correctly. And we don't stop everything because your gun don't work. You better get it fixed and get going because the guy's fixing to come cut your head off. And in real life, down at the mall, it's either going to be that or he's going to pull the lanyard and blow up the cafe. So practice. Practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. do it right, do it often, and get it down to a science. That wasn't that bad, Granny. I don't think, anyway. Hope not. All right, let's see here. I promised NM Glock. Hey, you know what? I may have this over here. Let me look real quick. I might have that in, let's see here. Maybe, maybe not. Stand by. I'm looking. Huh. By golly. All right. Well, we're going to take a little break here. And NM Glock, I finally found your stuff here. So, here we go.
I'll be back.
Well, it's two eggs, a bowl, whiskey toast, home fries on the side. Wash it down with the roadhouse coffee, burns up your inside. It's just a Canyon dollar at the diner, and a waitress I did love. I sat in the back beneath the old stuff there, and a worn-out Navajo rug. Now old Jack, the boss, he left at six, and it's Katie, bar the door. She pulled down that Navajo rug and spread it across the floor. Hey, I saw lightning cross the sacred mountain, saw the golden turtle dove. But I was lying next to Katie on that old Navajo rug. Aye, aye, aye. Jack about a year ago, he said the place burned to the ground. But all I say with this old bare tooth, Katie, she's left town. Papa Katie, she got her souvenir too, Jack's mad at tobacco plug. Well, you should have seen her coming through the smoke, dragging that Navajo rug. Aye, aye, aye. Time across the sacred mountains, and lightning breaks above. It always takes me back in time in my long lost Katie love. But everything keeps on a move, everybody's on the go. Hey, you don't find things that last anymore like an old Navajo.
Has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. I find it hard to walk away. I will not back down when you push me to the wall, expecting me.
And on the eighth day, God made the farmer. But he was not done. He looked down on the wilds of his untamed earth and said, I need someone who will never be broken. And so his greatest work began. First he filled their belly full of guts and their hearts full of try. Then he called them a cowboy. He needed someone who could handle a horse, teach them, tame them, but never break them. Someone whose soul needed the saddle. and would not change with the world around them. So God made a cowboy. He needed someone who could find a hot bull in a 100-section pasture, ride a bronc, hold a family together, read a brand, let wrongdoings go, and pull a tight cinch. God needed someone who didn't mind dusty cow pens, smoking branding irons, long days, and cold nights. So God made a cowboy. It had to be someone who could make a living with their rope, cow dog, and a few good horses. Someone who would never know a 40-hour week nor care to. He needed to create a proud man, one who would take a stand and whose greatest compliment would be to have his kids called handy. So God made a cowboy. But after he created the cowboy, he was far from done. While his creation was tough and untamed, they need more than just a good horse to share their name. And no ordinary woman would understand the cowboy. God needed to create a woman who didn't want store-bought roses by the dozen, but rather wild flowers, seldom picked, and sweet cowboy loving. He needed someone who could take a good custom in the working pens, love unconditionally, and forgive. Someone who could open her own doors, sweep tack room floors, look past muddy boots in the kitchen floors, make a home, hold her own, and have an eye for a good horse. Someone who didn't need lavish and flattery, but would find joy in a spring-born colt. Someone who could raise babies, fix fence, patch jeans, and never waver in the hard times of a cowboy life. So God made a cowboy's wife. And when God fashioned the cowboy and his wife, he made them in his exact image and likeness, and blessed them for all their earthly life.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
You know, I've had a, I hope you all don't mind, but I've had a little episode here I need to take care of. It's going to take me a couple minutes, so I'm going to play another song or two for you. I hope that doesn't cramp your style. So let me find something here that'll wake you up here a little bit. And let's see. There's got to be something here. I've got a... How about Tanya Tucker? No, how about not? How about Statler Brothers? All right. Stand by. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Saturday morning, serials chapters 1 through 15. Fly paper, penny loafers, Lucky Strike green. Flat tops, sock tops, Studebaker, Pepsi please. Ah, do you remember these? Cigar bands on your hand, your daddy's socks roll down. Sticks, no plugs, and aviator caps with flaps that button down. Movie stars on Dixie cup tops and knickers to your knees. Ah, do you remember these? The hip parade, great truade, the Sadie Hawkins dance. Pedal pushers, ducktail hair, and pegging your pants. Howdy doody, tutti frutti, the seam up the back of her hose. Ah, do you remember those? James Dean, he was keen, Sunday movies were taboo. The senior prom, Judy's mom, rock and roll was new. Cracker Jack Price, stars in your eyes, ask daddy for the keys. Ah, do you remember these?
The boogeyman, lemonade standing, taking your tonsils out. Bend and burn and wait your turn, and four foul balls you're out. Cigarette loads and secret codes and saving lucky stars. Can you remember back that far?
To boat neck shirts and fender skirts and crinoline petticoats. Mom's word and a dirty bird and a double root beer float. Moon hug caps and loud heel taps and he's a real gone cat. Ah, oh, do you remember that?
Dan
handsome clothes, a little more on jokes and cooties in her hair. Captain Midnight, Ovaltine, and the whip at the county fair. Charles Atlas, course, Roy Rogers, horse, and only the shadow knows. Ah, do you remember those?
Gable's charm, frog in your arm, loud mufflers, bitchin' woo. Going steady, Veronica and Betty, white bucks and blue suede shoes. Knock, knock jokes, who's there? Dewey.
Dewey who?
Dewey, remember these? Yes, we do. Ah, Dewey, do we remember these?
Disowned a few others than me. I guess it's because I kind of changed my direction. Lord, I guess I went and broke their family tradition. They get on me, want to know, Hank, why do you drink?
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country. Lord have mercy. That ain't country.
Yeah, we trust you. All right, we got it all squared away here. Let's get on with what we were doing. Let me get back over here and check the chat room and see what's going on here. Here's another anonymous here talking about possible riots in Portland. I'm not even gonna get off on that. I'm just flabbergasted with what's going on right now. So we'll keep an eye on it. And anonymous, I don't know, 2747. I'm not sure who you are. I don't know if you're a regular or not. But anyway, welcome to the Shooting Bench. Either way, so. NM Glock, sorry, but we quit supporting Girl Scout Cookie when we found out the leader, I don't remember what her name was supporting abortions and all that kind of stuff. So we don't do Girl Scout cookies anymore. Just support the Scouts other ways. There was a video going around on Facebook the last couple of days, I guess 3 or 4 days, and it shows a guy walking into what appears like maybe a sandwich shop or something, pulls a gun on the clerk, and the clerk was either a gun guy that wasn't very ambitious, just saw what was going on and just complied just so he wouldn't make waves. Or he didn't have any idea what was going on, was so zoned out, he just complied hoping he wouldn't get shot. I don't know what it was. But the guy walked in there, pulled his gun out, racked around in the chamber, at least he thought he did, and rode the slide forward and created a type 2 malfunction with his gun. Never looked at it, never give it any kind of a check and see if it was working or not. He just pulled the slide back, rode the slide forward, and created a problem. So he goes and pokes it in this kid's face. There's no sound to it, and I told him, I guess, you know, give me all your money or whatever. And the guy just kind of looked at him and took his gloves off and moseyed them. Just nice and slow. Here you go, dude. Just keep your shirt on. Jeez, not that big a deal. How much you want, anyway? They hand him a handful of money. He pulls the tray out and hands it to him. And all the time, the guy's just literally poking him in the face with his gun. Couldn't possibly go off. It was a solid type 2 malfunction, so. Now, what would you do in that case? What if he all of a sudden realized what was going on, cleared the malfunction quickly, and stuck it back in your face, now fully loaded, cocked finger on the trigger, and you're not going fast enough for him? Or maybe he didn't. Maybe, I mean, it's a possibility he might have thought about it. And what would you do in that case? I mean, the gun was literally almost touched him. I'm not so sure it didn't touch him a time or two. It was really in his face, but was inoperable. Would you just comply and give him the money? Would you walk away? Would you call 911 knowing that he couldn't shoot you? Or are you so scared that you're not paying attention to the gun? And that's not, I'm not saying that is a bad thing. People get scared when the gun's pointed out. But, you know, and that's the reason we go through some of our stuff, some of our force on force classes and things like that, is to try to get people to learn to handle things. It's still different, of course, when it's real life, but force on force is close. But, Would you try to take the gun away from him? He doesn't know there's a malfunction, or he wouldn't be pointing it at you like that, trying to scare you with it. it's a quick, easy malfunction to clear. But he didn't realize it. Would you take it away from him? It would have been so very simple and very fast, quick, and in my mind, in that condition, perfectly safe to take it away from him. He's on the other side of the counter. Would he have jumped over the counter and wanted his gun back, or would he do as most of them do in videos and stuff that we've watched and turn around and take off out the door? So something for you to think about if you are in the mall or restaurant or even at your home and something like that happens. Are you prepared to deal with it? How are you going to deal with it? Have you thought about it? This is why I really encourage people, particularly, well, pretty much in every class, but I do talk about this quite a bit in the CCW classes, and that is mental imaging. Think about what you're going to do. Think about every detail going through this from start to finish. You can't just think about it and then say, oh, boy, this is not going to be good, and then quit thinking about it. You need to think about it until you have become victorious. You have overcome the problem there and gone on with your business. Anonymous 24/7/47, where do you live that people have to ask permission to come armed to church? That's I know that there are some states like that, but that's absurd to me. I'm glad Arizona's not one of them. New Mexico's not one of them. But there are states like that. I believe Virginia is one. There's some others, but anyway, well, so there's, while you're pondering on that one here, let me get my crystal ball. But now, this story right here is exactly what we were talking about a while ago. This comes out of Nashville, Tennessee. And there was a guy in they call it a sneaker shop, tennis shoe shop, I guess. Sneakers, whatever you want to call them. But this guy went all John Wesley Harden on three armed robbers. Now, you have to read this story and read it carefully because it's not what it appears to be in the beginning here. Yeah, Yakima Glock, that's my point. Don't ask if the church, oh, can I carry a gun? What if they say no? So just do it. Thank you, Anonymous. Glad you dropped in there. Matter of fact, if you're from Tennessee, I might even have an idea who you're at. Who you are. Stand by 1 second again. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that. This guy, you have to read the whole story, but let me start it out for you. Said a man died after he was injured during a shootout at a Nashville, Tennessee shop Thursday night. Happened inside a place called Hot Kicks. Police told the news there a group of people were inside the store when at least three armed suspects came in through an unlocked back door and began firing. Now, here's the point, the problem. The problem is these guys, as I understand this story, just walked in and started shooting. They didn't say, hands up, give me your money, get down on the floor, nothing. They just walked in and went to blazing away. What do you do in a case? Are you prepared to deal with that? Are you going to run? Are you going to hit the ground? Are you going to draw your gun and fire back? What are you going to do? So, said one of the people in the store returned fire while others took off running, according to police. Metro Police said officers found one man near the back door with several gunshot wounds. Now, later on in the story, it says he returned fire, which led me to believe that he was carrying a gun. But what it was, farther on down here in the story, it says that says none of the customers or staff of the store were injured. One of the three robbers was found critically injured outside the back door of the shop and died at the hospital. The other two suspects arrived at a medical center leaking from fresh holes. One of those two robbers is now in critical condition. Says we've read between the lines on this a little bit since we're looking at preliminary reports, but what it suggests is pretty amazing. Says our hero inside the store didn't appear to have any advance warning of an impending armed robbery, and appears that the first thing anyone knew of it was the three robbers bursting in the back door with guns ablazing. In any event, the shooter refused to be overwhelmed by the unfolding scenario, armed himself, and proceeded to hit all three robbers and drive them out of the store. Now, here's an interesting part of this. It says, further, it is typically very rare for a magazine change to occur during a robbery, so he probably managed to hit all three with all three suspects with bullets from a single magazine, as everyone else in the store ran for their lives. Now, that's speculation. It doesn't say whether he did or didn't. But apparently, there was another story that I read about this that said that the guy, let's see, I'd be very curious to find out if the citizen gunfighter in this incident had defensive firearms training under his belt. I'm guessing yes. The average guy, either that or he's a cop, you know, an off-duty cop or something. Says, but we're unlikely to obtain that information. So I read another story that said that he took a gun from one of the guys. There was a scuffle, and he took the gun away from one of the guys and blasted them with their own gun. Are you prepared to do that? Mental imaging. Think about what you're going to do. Set and think through these scenarios and see if you've got what it takes. In some cases, you know, don't try to be a hero if you're not ready to be a hero. I shouldn't say that. Nobody's ready to be a hero, but I think in most cases, not all by any means, but in most cases, I think you're better off trying something, even if it fails, rather than either dying on the spot or allowing yourself to be taken to a secondary crime scene. This guy, three robbers with guns, and he's taking them out. There was another one here, what was it, four or five years ago, maybe not that long. N.M. Glock probably remembers this. But there was a guy, or two or three guys, or four, maybe broke into a gun shop in the middle of the night. Well, the owner slept. His house was attached to this shop, and he come out with an AR-15 and showed him what for. And told him how the cow ate the cabbage. So that's what we were talking about with multiple assailants a while ago. It's getting more and more frequent. yeah, come on, Glock. That's right. You said carrying a 1911 who've been pushing hard to get them all with one magazine. And that's not knocking. Everyone knows I'm not a 1911 fan. I despise 1911s. But be that as it may, looking at some of these stories that we're getting nowadays, would you not feel better with 17 rounds of 40 or 9 millimeter rather than 7 or 8 rounds of 45s? Not that the 45s won't do the job. There's just not enough of them. Goodness. So, I have nothing whatsoever against people that like 1911 or like 45 either one. It's fine. It's your choice. I'm just not one of them. All righty. By the way, I didn't mention that, as you all have already figured out, Amy was not with us tonight. She's, I keep saying that this is awfully tough to do this for us sometimes. So her daughter, our next to the oldest daughter, has finally got her own place in town, and Amy was helping her move and take some last minute things over there tonight. So she's wasn't with us. So I don't know. That's why we started doing 2 hours on Monday, to see if there was a possibility that Amy was going to come in. We wanted to make sure she had plenty of time. If she didn't, then I'll just take up the extra time. Anana, 2747, glad to see you in there from Tennessee. I've never spent much time. I've driven through Nashville and Memphis and stuff, several times. Where I spent most of my time was Chattanooga and down, what the heck's that? It's a gun club down there right close to the Georgia line. I forgot what the heck the name of it is. Anyway, I've spent a little time down that part. I tell you what, if you guys want to do something, see one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen that nature has to provide, go to southern Tennessee, north Georgia in the fall of the year. There are no words to describe the colors and the absolute awesomeness of the leaves. People travel from miles around, hundreds of miles, thousands maybe. There's foreign visitors that come there to see the leaves. The one place, it's all over in that part of the country, but the one place to go is called Helen, little town of Helen, Georgia. Very small, nothing there, deader than a mackerel all summer, all year. A little bit of activity with the hunters. Deer hunters come through there, but when the leaves come on, that town is packed. It's unbelievable. It's worth the trip. If you've got something to, I don't know if you'll want to drive all the way from California out there to see the pretty leaves, but if you've got any reason to go out there, try to schedule it in such a time when you can go in the fall and see the leaves up there. It is an amazing sight. And it's all over down there from Chattanooga down south and east of there back to what would be the Carolinas, I guess. Lots of it down there. Okay. Granny, good to see you. Glad you're tuned up here. I know the desert's the desert is kind of in bloom, not completely. But it's starting to when you get down south. I was thinking around here. Around here, people are advised here not to even consider planting until Memorial Day. And for good reason. We just had 2 inches of snow and freezing temperatures. It got down to 19 degrees the other night. What, 4 days ago? What is this? Monday? Yeah, Thursday, I think Thursday. It got down to 19 degrees. 2 inches of fresh snow on the ground. So if you had a garden full of tomatoes right then, you'd have been in dire straits, or they would have been anyway. So Memorial Day, our growing season is pretty short around here. It's lasts from Memorial Day to, now of course if you got a place, a little greenhouse or something, you want to get things started in a little earlier, but you're not just going to go out and plant them outside in the garden. Every single year, someone said, they get after a long winter, and then you'll have a week, maybe 2 weeks, short sleeve weather, 70 degrees. Oh, well, it's going to be different this year. because it's warm and it's nice and we ought to get some tomatoes in the ground. Every year somebody does that. Every year people lose their stuff because it's just too early for this part of the country. We still subject to get snow. As I may have mentioned to you the other night, 2 years ago, we had 5 inches of snow on May 16th, 15th and 16th. That was just 8 miles from here. I don't know how much we got here at the house because I was stuck out in the woods with some Boy Scouts and stuff. But anyway, it was got 5 inches of snow. All right, let's see here. I think it's time for us to take another little break. And
I'll be back.
Turn it.
Elmer Jones arose at dawn and put his hunting breeches on, then looked up at his shotgun on the wall. He made his mind up then and there to bag himself a pair at shooting. He had plenty on the ball. He milked the cow and fed the hog, then kissed his wife, called the dog, picked up his gun and started on his quest. He crossed the creek and hit the trees, threw back his head and sniffed the breeze, let out a yell and pounded on his chest.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
He hunted all the morning through, but not a bear came into view while Elmer's thoughts were on the kitchen range. For he was sick as he could be of lamb and chicken fricassee and craved a mess of bear meat for a change. Poor Elmer's mind was in a fog. He paused and sat down on a log, get his tackle lid back in the groove. He heard a noise, and standing there before him was a grizzly bear, and figured it was time he made his move.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
He grabbed his gun and turned around, but Mr. Bear just stood his ground, and Elmer said, it's either me or thou. The gun refused to go, and so he knew that somebody had to go, and said, farewell, I'm leaving as of now. Elmer's shoulders sprouted wings, his feet developed inner springs. To linger longer, he was disinclined. He ran so fast through muck and mire, his ankles set his socks afire. Still that bear kept coming on behind.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
A deer with antler 8 feet wide got in the way of Elmer's stride as both of them went heading for the brush. Elmer said, now listen, son, if that's the fastest you can run, move over, because I'm really in a rush. The bear was gaining inch by inch and finally reached out for the clinch as Elmer saw the fence around his place. He leaped the fence and landed hard, jumped 60 feet across the yard and slammed the kitchen door in Bruin's face.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
The bear was trying to get inside while Elmer sought a place to hide, and Mrs. Jones began to pull her hair. She said, this fuss has got to stop. Why don't you let that matter drop? And Elmer said, honey, you go tell that to the bear. Then Elmer's wife said, listen, goon, how come you think you're Daniel Boone, whose appetite on bear meat used to thrive? He said, I'm sure that you're aware that Daniel always killed his bear, but honey, I done brought this baby home alive.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
Let me tell you, cowgirl, you ain't seen nothing till you sing the Montana rain.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back. It was kind of a long break there, but love of my life just walked through the door, so I had to go visit with her for a couple minutes. All right, let's continue to march here. Let me see what... See what's going on in the chat room here. Let's see. Wow, we've got quite a discussion started on planting stuff here. All right. All right, let's move on here. I've got... My crystal ball went to sleep. Stand by. You know, this story doesn't have anything to do with training or doesn't have anything to do with anything except just values and morals. And every once in a while you hear a story about somebody that, kills an animal, goodness, in town or, sticks a, there was one story where a guy stuck an arrow through a goose and the goose went on its way there for a while. Anyway, this guy killed a really, really nice mule deer buck in uptown Butte, Montana. Right in town. It's laying with one side of its horns resting on the sidewalk. And it's laying on asphalt street. done it in the middle of the night here and just shot it and left. And anyway, they caught him, fined him $11,695. Take that. Wow. $11,000 deer. So I guess that this case here drew quite a bit of attention. He finally pleaded guilty. And it was several charges, including unlawful possession, shooting with artificial light, and with shooting in the city limit, shooting from a vehicle, and abandoning a big game animal. Young guy, 20 years old. And you can bet in that part of the country, he won't be hunting anymore again for a while. This happened back in September, and they just now got it all squared away here. Somebody said they'd seen an injured deer there, and when they found it, the deer died by that time from the gunshot wound. So, unbelievable. Let me go back up here. I saw something on the chat room here. Yeah, right there, Granny. Granny said it's against the law to save rainwater. There's only a few states that do that. It's not by any means all states. Definitely some. By saving rainwater, that can be anything from, and basically, for all practical purposes, that's why Joe Robertson is in jail right now, because he built a pond there and saved some water Once the little pond was full and water was back running its normal stream and everybody was fine, but he's the pond's still there. So he's in prison, in federal prison, for building a pond. 74, something like that. By the way, Cliven Bundy just had a birthday in federal prison. You know, those guys have been in there for 480 days or 400 and something days. So anyway, but there's some states where you can't put a rain barrel at the bottom of your rain gutter where it comes off the roof. You got to just let it run, which is first time I heard that. I thought it was a joke, but it's not a joke. It's very real. And Yakima Glock says Washington is one of those states, so that's too bad. Of course, that's Seattle controls Washington pretty much. Seattle and Olympia and over in that part of the Tacoma. That is not the opinion or the attitude of the people in eastern Washington. Spokane is a kind of an exception to that, but for the most part, there's just like normal folks in eastern Washington. Not so much in western Washington, and not most of, or well, Oregon's really not too bad either. It's all because of Portland. You could if Portland would slide off in the ocean and leave the rest of the state there, it's really not that bad. I've had this discussion several times just in the last week. About people traveling to Washington. Oh, y'all got to leave my gun here. I said, no, you don't. I said, Washington is an open carry state. It's almost like Arizona in that regard. There's other things you need to be careful of and stuff, you know, in that part of the country. Oregon is an open carry state. You just need to be very, very cautious in Portland and in surrounding area there. But neither one of them. The only thing that ticks me off about Washington is they don't recognize Arizona's CCW. But again, it's an open carry state, so the CCW is not a deal breaker. But they do also offer non-residents concealed carry license, and you get it right from the sheriff. So, you know, that's not a bad deal. Oregon, on the other hand, is a little tougher to get a CCW, and they don't recognize anybody else's. But Again, it's an open carry. So I've carried quite a bit in Oregon. I'm just very, very careful around Portland. I don't go to Portland. I've gone there a couple times because of Amy's family. Otherwise, if I have to, I'll drive straight through. I won't stop for nothing but red lights and stop signs. I won't pull over and get gas. I won't pull over and get a Coke. I just don't stop. I just want to get in there, get out, get across the river, get over to Vancouver where things are a little bit closer to normal over there. Granny, yes, you can open carry loaded in Oregon. There's some stipulations, and I don't remember right off the top of my head what they are, but it's pretty easy. It's not as bad as everybody thinks it is. No, I don't remember if I ever told you all this story or not. First time I had been to Oregon for several years, and I don't remember it. For the first time I went through Oregon, I didn't even stop for gas. I had plenty of gas to get me wherever I was going. Actually, we come out of Northern California when I was stationed over there, went through the corner of Oregon there and went into southwestern Idaho. And so I didn't even have to stop for gas. And I pulled up there, 3 years ago. 4 years in. I tell you exactly when it was. It was December 12th of 2014. Because December 13th of 2014 is when we had the big rally in Olympia. So it was the day before that. And we got into Oregon, I think, go around Baker or somewhere in there. And pulled up to get gas. And I got out and then just stuck my credit card in there and got the nozzle and started filling it up and just standing there just minding my own business, putting gas in my truck, and here comes this cute little gal out of the thing there, out of the store, the gas station. And she said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "No, I think I got it." Well, she said, by law, I'm supposed to help you. And I said, well, wash the windshield in. That'll help. I didn't know that you can't pump your own frickin' gas in Oregon. How stupid is that? It's state law and evidently has been since, I guess, the 70s or something, that you can't pump your own gas. I've never heard of such a thing in my life. Of course, when I was a kid, you used to have full-service gas stations where, you know, if you wanted to do it yourself, you could, but there was guys that got paid to do it, and you're supposed to just sit there and look pretty and tell them, yeah, check the oil, check the tires, and fill up the windshield washer, and I'll just sit right here. When you get done, I'll hand you $10 for your effort and be on my way. But I could not believe that I was floored. And I tell you what, now, if I have to drive through there, I'll make sure and stop in, what is that last little town in Idaho? There's a truck stop there, not too far out of Oregon. Anyway, I'll stop at that place and make sure that I'm plumb full. Plumb fill it to the rim with brim. And, so I can drive through Washington. Now, if I'm going up to Yakima, I don't even go to Portland, go that way. I'll cut off and go across the river, just not too far into the state. I don't remember what the town was, but anyway, unbelievable. that little girl didn't take too kindly. I didn't know how to, you couldn't. But she said, "Well, I have to help." And I said, "Well, which one's you?" She didn't like that a damn bit. Anyway. All right, let's see here. Let me get the crystal ball fired up again. I'm about to get through some of these cotton picking stories here. I can't delete them because I gotta use these to get my podcast all caught up. All right. I think we've already done that. We did that. We talked about the 40 to 60 teens. We talked about multiple adversaries the other day. Remember the 40 to 60 teens that took over the subway in San Francisco? Now, see, Susie B. says that Oregon law has been in effect since 1951. I didn't know. Well, I won't even go there. That's stupid. All right. The ATF has apparently reversed their stance on stabilizing braces for handguns. You know, some of them have these little things that clip on, snap on, screw on, like the old Lugers, German Luger used to have. Is a little shoulder stock that clipped on there. Doc, if you're not going to let an idiot put gas in your bike, you better stay out of Oregon or make sure it's full before you get there. Because that's what they'll do. They'll call the man on you. Anyway, they've just released this stance that they had. Always thought this was kind of goofy anyway, but. St. Petersburg, Florida, just a week ago, the inventors and manufacturers of this pistol stabilizing brace called SB Tactical is the store, the manufacturer. And they've announced now that the ATF has issued a letter reversing their, a reversal letter. Hang on. Coyotes are going crazy out there. Reversal letter containing a sensible clarification of the Bureau's position on the lawful use of these braces. The new clarification of opinion letter states that an NFA firearm has not necessarily been made when the device is not reconfigured for use as a shoulder stock, even if the attached firearm happens to be fired from the shoulder. Now, what they're talking about is when they have these braces that kind of braces the gun against your arm, your forearm, and people were taking that brace and putting it up to their shoulder and shooting it. Now all of a sudden it's a short-barreled rifle or an AOW or whatever. So what they're saying here is that if it has that brace, unless it's been reconfigured in some manner to put an actual shoulder stock on it. Let me read that to you again. An NFA firearm has not necessarily been made when the device is not reconfigured for use as a shoulder stock, even if the attached firearm happens to be fired from the shoulder. So if it can be fired from the shoulder, as long as you don't have a actual shoulder stock. To the extent that the January 2015 letter implied or has been construed to hold that incidental, sporadic, or situational use of an arm brace in its original approved configuration, equipped firearm from a firing position at or near the shoulder was sufficient to constitute redesign. Such interpretations are incorrect and not consistent with the ATF's interpretation of the statute or the manner in which it has historically been enforced. So I'm not going to read the whole rest of the story there, but now if you want to get those forearm braces, not be scared about using them. Here's a letter right here. Got that off the firearm blog. And they've got the actual letter, a JPEG of the letter and the text of the letter here. So that's good news. That's a little bit of common sense coming out of a historically non-commonsensical outfit there. Let's see what's going on in the chat room here. all right. That's content. Just about done. We're just about caught up here. I got to save some of these for Wednesday night. Oh, there was a good one here. Oh, well, here's another one. The judge, federal judge has confirmed New Jersey has always had a ban on what they call electronic arms, which is tasers and whatnot. But a federal judge now has confirmed that New Jersey's ban on electronic arms is unconstitutional. Very good. New Jersey's ban on electronic arms is an unconstitutional violation of the Second Amendment, and the state must stop enforcing it. Federal judge ordered this last Tuesday. The judge of the United States District Court for the District of New Jersey issued the order on the matter of the New Jersey Second Amendment Society and Mark Cheeseman versus New Jersey Attorney General. So, you know, some of these cases come out where people actually say it's like the Heller case. Some guy just said, you know, I've had enough. I'm going to challenge it. Anyone? And if more of us, especially in our individual, you know, in our local areas, push it to the limit, will you get thrown in jail? Probably not, but it's possible. It's just one of those things that just have to take into account, I guess. All right, there's one more I want to get here real quick. We'll save that one. We'll save that one. And that one. Here's the one I'm looking for. We've talked many, many times about how cops were when we were kids, you know. Parents just said, just find a guy in the blue uniform, you know, just find a cop and they'll help you. And it seems we get more and more and more stories of dirty and crooked cops. So here is one where the Department of Justice has released a list here of 57 firearms that were seized from a Pasadena police officer's home. They had, apparently they'd issued a deal here some time back saying that it apparently some of the cops had been selling, buying and selling guns that had been used in crimes. And so evidently there was an ongoing investigation there and he didn't pass. This 57 firearms seized from the Pasadena Police Lieutenant's home in Sierra Madre, California. According to the seizure list, Lieutenant Baskin has 34 pistols valued at $27,900, 21 rifles or rifle receivers valued at $20,450, and two shotguns valued at $2,600. So far, no arrests have been made, but they have put this lieutenant on administrative leave. So it said back as far as March, the special agent there in the Los Angeles area had issued a notice to Southern California police departments warning them that officers may be illegally buying and selling crime scene guns. So there you have it. There's your... It's a shame that there's got to be just a few cops like that that make it worse for it's like every profession, no matter where you go, what you do, who you're with, and who you're involved with, there's always somebody that's got to be a idiot like this. All right. Well, an archive of one of Amy's shows from January is going to be immediately following the shooting bench here. It's been a while since you've heard Amy's beautiful voice, so I'm going to go ahead and put on a archive for you real quick. And I'm going to sneak out of here with everything. I'm surprised my internet held out good. I didn't have any problems the whole night, so at least I didn't see or hear of any. So if everything goes according to plan, then we'll be back Wednesday, Doc and I, with a rare and odd handgun segment here. Ought to be kind of interesting. And then I've got a few other gun-related things that I'll do when Doc and I get finished there. So, with that being said, I'm going to sneak out of here, and we will see you all.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.